The perception in Moscow that the election of Donald Trump may be lifting a cloud from Russia's economy. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. The key index on the Moscow Stock Exchange was up between 2 and 2.5% by midday as investors make bets on Russian business. Some see this as connected to the election of Donald Trump. For a sense of the logic here, let's turn to Famil Ismailov, the editor of the BBC's Russian service. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
So the mood in Russia may have something to do with Western sanctions on Russia put in after the 2014 annexation of a part of Ukraine?
That's kind of a hope they have. But it's such a big hope that the Russian deputies, members of parliament, were applauding on the news of Trump winning elections. So what they expect is that the sanctions that the United States imposed and the West generally imposed on Russia after annexation of Crimea and also connected to the Russian alleged involvement in the East Ukrainian war, they want those sanctions to be cancelled, they want them to be lifted, and they want, as Mr. Putin himself put it, they even want compensations for the lost profits because of the sanctions.
Now, I should point out that it's not like Donald Trump has said he wants to lift the sanctions. This is just really a hope on the Russian side.
Exactly. No, he didn't say that. But what they expect is that generally the mood in Russian-American relations would get better. But the economists generally are quite cautious because what they say is that Russia is not so much dependent on sanctions as on the general situation on the markets, and specifically exchange market and dollar exchange specifically, and also on the commodity market. And we're talking about oil price here.
Famil Ismailov, editor of the BBC's Russian service. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
On Thursdays, we like to consult Diane Swonk, founder of DS Economics, usually in Chicago, but today at the center of the revolution, Washington, D.C. Hi, Diane.
Hello.
All right. Things are changing. What are you telling your clients? There's so much to talk about.
There is a lot to talk about. The biggest sea change is the consensus in Washington to move forward now with Republicans in control of both the Senate and the House and the White House on tax reform, lower taxes, and on higher infrastructure spending, something that economists have been wishing for a long time. We really do need infrastructure spending. The problem is it's being done outside of the context of long-term fiscal reform, and that means we're going to have blowing up federal budget deficits. In fact, the federal budget deficit has already moved further into the red this year. Today it will be reported at 2 o'clock Eastern time, and that's one of the reasons why you see sort of a double-edged sword. Bond yields have moved up quite dramatically in response to the idea that we're going to turn on the spigots in Washington. That'll help to boost the economy initially, but there is a price, and the price is inflation.
Right, turning on the spigots at a time of tax cutting, but these are conservatives that are coming to power. Don't you think they'll be monitoring this?
Well, we have seen the words debt and deficit completely disappear from the political dialogue, most notably that at the presidential level on both sides of the aisle. I think the other issue important to keep in context here is we're also talking about a move much more towards protectionism, which is also inflationary and down the road raises the risk quite dramatically of stagflation, a repeat of something we saw in the 1970s, which, as we know, is not where we really want to go.
I think the former Fed chairman, Alan Greenspan, referred to that today.
Exactly. On CNBC today, he said his gravest concern is an environment of stagflation going forward.
All right. Blast from the past. Diane Swonk, founder of DS Economics, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Individual businesses and entire industries are working to make sense of the new political landscape in the U.S. It feels good to be a power company that uses coal. For others, like hospital chains who benefit from subsidies in the federal health care law, the prospects are not as positive, Marketplace's Andy Euler reports.
One clear promise Donald Trump made was to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act. But big medicine supported Obamacare because, as a result, hospitals have had more insured patients and health plans and pharmaceutical companies have had more customers. But somebody has to have won as a result of the election, right?
I don't think that there are many major winners in the healthcare industry.
That's Megan McHugh. She teaches emergency medicine at Northwestern University. She says hospitals stand to lose pretty big if the Affordable Care Act is repealed, and it's still unclear how Trump plans to regulate the pharmaceutical industry. So it's not any part of the medical industry that won, but
there are a lot of people who didn't want Obamacare and didn't like it once it was passed. So those are the folks that won.
Some industries did feel a bit rosier about the future after the vote, like those in the energy sector, specifically in fossil fuels. John Larson heads the Rhodium Group's U.S. power sector.
President-elect Trump has promised to roll back regulations on power plants and other parts of the energy sector, while also opening up and expanding drilling for oil and gas.
Trump has also said he would undo environmental regulations to boost coal mining and make it easier to build oil and gas pipelines. But Ethan Zendler, an analyst at Bloomberg New Energy Finance, says Trump may have put himself in a tough spot.
You know, he's talked a lot about being very supportive of the natural gas industry and being very supportive of the U.S. coal industry, when in fact those two industries, to some large degree, are directly in competition with each other.
That's because domestic natural gas is abundant and cheaper than coal. Zindler says policy can only do so much. Market forces will end up deciding the winners and losers in the energy sector. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
Disney will report its quarterly results later today. It's had some hit movies lately, but one of its bigger properties, ESPN, is struggling. Marketplace's Marielle Segarra reports.
Doctor Strange, Finding Dory, Zootopia. Disney has had one box office success after another this year.
That's obviously been the shining star for Disney.
Greg Portell, partner at consulting firm A.T. Kearney, says excitement about the movies translates into more sales of toys, costumes, and theme park tickets. Problem is,
individually, those contribute very little to the overall profit of the company.
Disney relies heavily on revenue from its sports giant, ESPN, and cord cutting means fewer subscribers. Brett Harris, a research analyst at Cabelli & Company, says analysts are watching to see how Disney will compensate.
Are they going to launch their own network, their own essential Netflix for sports, using all the content that they have?
For now, the answer is as obscure as those dark forces Dr. Strange is battling. In New York, I'm Marielle Segarra for Marketplace.
And chief executives have been trying to get the wording right on their company-wide notes after the election produced jubilation right alongside dread among employees. Time to heal divisions is the common theme. United Airlines CEO Oscar Munoz wrote, "Though the state of our politics may have changed, our character as individuals remains the same, and so should the way we respect one another and take care of each other." Target Stores sent a broadcast email to employees to breathe in, breathe out. The Wall Street Journal saw it and said it contained an adult coloring book and suggestions about some yoga and meditation. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.